We talked about it. We talked about it. Chris.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Commission members. Chris Peterson here, your finance officer for the department. Mr. Chairman, last month when we were all in Custer State Park, we got an opportunity to give you a short presentation on the timeline throughout the year, or the budget cycle that the department, that basically all of state government, uses month in and month out to go through and put a budget together, go through the government and legislative processes, and basically comes to a finalization process. Today, building on that conversation from last month, we have another short presentation for you, followed up at the end with an action item to put in front of you. Our presentation today basically is the culmination or the end product of our budget life cycle that starts in July of each year, goes through the department's process of building a budget, working with your commission's budget subcommittee, working with the governor's office and the Bureau of Finance and Management, then through the legislative process, adding additional budget items through those processes, and essentially getting to the culmination of what we have in front of you today, which is a budget recommendation or proposal for you that will essentially finalize the budget that will start for our Department of Game, Fish, and Parks this coming July 1st, so just in a few weeks here. So we're putting the final touches on our fiscal year 19 budget, and we're asking for your approval of the fiscal year 2020 budget that'll start July 1st. Mr. Chairman, a lot of what we have in front of you today builds off from the budget presentation some of you attended and our department went through with the Appropriations Committee of the Legislature this past January, February, during that legislative session. Our presentation today goes through a couple different things. You can see on the slideshow, we're going to go through a little bit of the budget structure. All of you as commissioners will have seen some of this and will be familiar with some of the structure and the items and the statutes, but for our listening public, it'll be a nice opening introduction for them as well. In addition to kind of going through the budget structure that we have for the department, we've got some slides that walk through our FTE, full-time equivalents. That's the staffing levels within the department. We've got some information on those. Even though our department has a minimal amount of state general fund dollars, we've got some information on that. And then as well as some individual program budget summaries for our Division of Administration, our Parks and Recreation Division, and our Division of Wildlife as well. So we'll go through each of those a little bit as we go. As we build through the budget for the department, on the slide you will see basically six items. We call them program budgets or budget units. They're the level at which the budget rolls up into for our different areas of the department. We have our Division of Administration that has the finance office, engineering, communications, the expenses for all of you with the commission. All those administrative pieces are in that administrative budget. That budget, as you're all well aware, Game, Fish, and Parks is somewhat unique. This administrative budget, the authority with that particular budget resides with the legislature. The next two on our list are the operations budget for the Division of Wildlife and the capital development budget for the Division of Wildlife. Capital development is all of those projects from small dams and boat ramps and all kinds of things that we do for projects for the Division of Wildlife. Both of those wildlife division budgets, from the legislative perspective, they're informational. From your perspective, you have the authority over those. So those would be two of the ones we're going to spend some good time on with all of you today. Number four and five are on the list are the Parks and Recreation Division, the operations budget for that division, and then they also have a capital development project budget as well. In reverse, again, those two budgets are controlled by the legislature with the budget authority, and then the final budget we have on the page 0622 is the Snowmobile Trails Program, and that's one of those budgets where the authority, again, lies with the commission. So it's a hybrid, it's a combination mix of both of those functions working together. As we've been discussing here, and all, as all of you are well aware, the GFP Commission has many of those authorities related to the budget for establishing fees, promulgating rules, providing other commission functions, and of course implementing and overseeing some of those special budgetary functions for three of those six units that we just talked about in the slide prior. Mr. Chairman, as we actually get into some of the budget numbers for the department, we've got a couple reviews that are really on a department-wide basis. It'll give you a scope of the whole budget, all of those pieces together, how it kind of lays out and how we compare with state government overall. We put in front of you a slide that we used during the legislative process that we used that actually comes from the legislature. Top left-hand corner of the slide actually shows essentially what looks like a full blue circle. One little sliver there, 0.4%. 0.4% is the general funds for state government that are used by the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. So 99.6% of all the general funds statewide go to other areas of state government, which makes a lot of sense when you consider all of the hunting, fishing licenses, park entrance licenses, all those kind of things that roll through our department that fund most of what we do and most of what all of you work on. So a very small share of state general fund dollars. Right below that slide, something to point out is a bar chart that is somewhat green and blue. One of the things that we're pretty proud of in our Department of Game, Fish, and Parks is I'm not aware of any other agency that has budgeted staff people that uses more of what we're given. If you all allocate us or if the legislature allocates us an FTE, we put those individuals to work. We use essentially all of our budgeted staffing hours that are allocated to us. It's just one of the things that we work long and hard on to keep people in the field and do good things for the citizens. Mr. Chairman, moving on, kind of continuing that conversation on the staffing levels for the department. Any given day within the department, plus or minus, you'll see about 486, maybe give or take if there's a few openings in our department or vacancies, but around that number, about 486 full-time positions. Those are the 40-hour-a-week employees. In addition to that, this time of year, between Memorial Day and Labor Day, that summer season, our staffing with seasonals and interns will bump up over 1,000 employees, which is what we have on the payroll today. So we use a lot of seasonal and intern labor to basically fill in all those needs during that busy season. As we mentioned, where we have about over 580 full-time FTE, that's seasonals and full-timers equivalent. You can see over the last 2 years that we've ended, we've only unutilized 1 to 2% of that FTE. So those staff people that they give us in the budget, we hire those people, we put them out there, and we put them to work. So it really works out well for our department. We think another item that we're pretty proud of is the staffing turnover with a department like ours that has unique governmental services that are offered with outdoor recreational opportunities. Historically, we see that the turnover or vacant positions, those kind of things, in state government is usually at a higher percentage than what we are within Game, Fish, and Parks. Statewide, you'll see turnover rates between 11 and 14%, and we historically run between 6 and 9%. So when we get staff on, we're able to, and there's always challenges, but we're always able to keep them on a little bit longer than many other departments see as well. Mr. Chairman, moving on into some of the fund source pieces of the budget, we've got a couple slides that relate to this 0.4% we've talked about. It's the state general fund tax dollars for the department. We put together a long historical bar chart that literally goes back the better part of the last 10 years. As we talk about general funds within the department, that 0.4%, $5-6 million annually, really is broken out into two pieces. About half of that, which you can see with kind of the brown, gray, beige type bars on our bar chart, all relate to bond payments. In our Game, Fish, and Parks department, a lot of some of our bigger construction projects, renovations at Angostura for a new sewer system there, or improvements to Cedar Shores Resort and the lands around there, Custer State Park Resort improvements, those kind of things. A lot of the historical practices have been to fund some of those big projects with bonds. It's almost like issuing a mortgage payment, and you go out and you issue revenue bonds, you build that money on the front end, and you pay it back over time. What we do in state government is we make our bond payments every year. If it's a 20-year revenue bond, kind of like a 20-year mortgage, kind of like that, we will use general funds to pay off those bond payments, pay that mortgage expense. But our department funds, hunting and fishing license money or park money, we give those funds to the general fund. So it's literally an in and out to take advantage of good bond rates, good interest rates, if you will. So what you see there is, on our bar chart, the part of the general funds, $2 to $3 million a year, that we use for actual operations within the department, those are the light green and dark green lines. You'll notice back in 2010, 2011, when the state was in some pretty tough economic times, our department participated in a lot of those across the board cuts for state government and general funds. And essentially since that time, in about 2012, really the only general funds that have been allocated back to the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks is some incremental small adjustments related to like a statewide salary policy with raises for staff. So that's what you'll see with that light green bar that really looks awful flat over the last 7 or 8 years for sure. Just to get into some more of the specifics, you will see this chart here allocates the $3.2 million that are related to those bonds with some of those big projects. Some of these happened years ago, some of those within the last few years, but anything from Custer State Park facilities, the new visitor center that went online at Custer State Park and Good Earth over the last couple of years, fish hatchery renovations, Cedar Shores, as I mentioned, the Angostura sewer project, as I mentioned, but that's $3.2 million where our department funds go to the general fund, and the general fund gives us back an exact amount of general funds to make those bond payments. So really that money's in and out, has no operational effectiveness across the department. What we do use within the Division of Administration for some accounting staff and such is $168,000 of general funds and $2.7 million in the current budget that is used for basically seasonal staffing within our state parks and recreation operations budget. So all told, you get to about $6 million of general funds. That's that 0.4% that we were talking about earlier. Mr. Chairman, the next thing we thought we would do is to kind of have a slide up there that's just more of a visual aid as anything, but I've got some numbers to kind of walk through with you that talk about, as we put a budget together last July and August and September and worked with the budget subcommittee, we put a bunch of budget proposals together that would build that budget that's going to start here July 1st. Really, this page, a lot of numbers, but really there's one number that is important to this page. Across what is a $93 million budget in this year we're ending, we looked through and with some challenges with hunting and fishing license sales and federal dollars and everything else, the recommendation for the overall department growth in the budget out of $93 million was about $267,000. So essentially a flat-lined, no growth budget of any kind. Knowing that even though that was what the department would be submitting to the governor's budget office and to the legislature to review, there would also be additional budget items that would come forth on top of that. Those things relate to inflationary items like salaries and health insurance, utility costs, gas prices, things like that. So knowing that the department was in a place that we felt that was best without any license fee increases of any kind getting proposed to you last fall, this was essentially a flat-lined, no growth budget for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. As I mentioned, $267,000 of growth. But with that, we thought we'd take a minute or two to kind of walk through where that $267,000 kind of came in, the pluses and minuses for the department over that year. And what you'll find here is we've got some increases of hundreds of thousands of dollars and some decreases that align with those, and it's all going to net out to this increase of about $267,000. A couple of the things that we noticed in this budget request that we were building last summer and last fall was on the slide here, just from numbers 1 through 10 in the middle of the slide, if two of them, numbers, items number 1 and 4, for both of our divisions, we recognized that the budget for our seasonal salaries and interns was lower than the expenditures that we were using out there for our seasonal staff. We have a good opportunity within our Game, Fish, and Parks Department. To offer incentives with seasonal staff when we have returning staff, a seasonal from year one comes back to for a second year, we're able to offer them some a higher rate each year as they come back and forth to us within those salaries. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have this budget need. That means we're able to procure or have staff that are coming back to us year and year, and with that comes a lot of experience and a lot of cost savings with retraining. So in both our Wildlife Division and our Parks Division, we had two increases to the budget. For the Wildlife Division, that salary increase was $231,000, and for the Parks Division, it was $276,000. So we had some items that we addressed within the budget there. In addition to that, the federal government out in the Black Hills had additional federal dollars to allocate to our Wildlife Division to do some weed spraying on state and federal properties within the Black Hills Forest to the tune of $70,000. So we added that to the budget as well. For both divisions, the Wildlife Division capital development, that's that project budget for wildlife, and for the capital development budget in Parks and Recreation, due to the projects that were coming in and out, we had some different reductions. Those budgets in our department are basically zero-based. Slides coming up here in a little while, we're going to get into some of those specific projects. But as we identify the projects that we feel are important to do to maintain what we have for next year versus this year, we zero-base that and provide a laundry list of projects out that way. For the Wildlife Division, that reduction overall was $1.6 million. So there's one of those offsets that helped with that salary increase as well. In addition to that, we had a slight increase within the water base. That's for projects along the waters at our state parks. That budget increase for projects was $352,000. Our preventative maintenance budget for kind of maintaining things we have out there was actually a decrease of just short of $700,000, $694,375 to be exact. And then for new development, with some slides we'll get into here soon with some campground expansion, which is also a good thing from the state park perspective, because that those type of projects come with additional camping opportunities and increased revenue for the department as well. But the new development projects for the Parks and Recreation Division, and that project budget was just over $1.1 million. In addition to that, the State Parks Division at two of our locations, we received and got approval for two new staff people, conservation techs, to do a lot of the on-ground maintenance at two of our state park areas in the state park and recreation areas. The cost of those two new staffing at our entry level is going to be about $35,000 a piece, or $70,000 total. And then in addition to that, our last item of a budget increase that was part of this budget package was an increase of $14,000, and that was in our snowmobile trails budget. Each year within that snowmobile trails grooming operation that we do in the Black Hills, we try to replace one of our quite expensive snow trail groomers. We take the newest groomer and we rotate that over to the East River and have some of our contracted snowmobile programs, our kind of clubs over there, use that older groomer, and we bring the newest groomer out to the Black Hills where they have that 24/7 grooming operation. From what we could tell when we put the budget together, is the groomer, replacement groomer, was going to cost $14,000 more in this coming year than what it did last year. So we bumped up that budget by $14,000. So a lot of pluses and minuses there, but again, that total that we recommended last August, September, was a total budget change of $267,677, and those two FTE that I mentioned as well. Mr. Chairman, to now just take that that budget that's at $93 million or so far and get into some of the specifics within each of the divisions. All of that, the pluses and minuses, what we've got is our division of administration. As I mentioned, that's commission expenses, finance, engineering, communications. The total budget there is actually just increasing by slightly more than $200, $268. The only thing we were changing in the division of administration was indeed one of the bond payments. So we had a little bit of adjustment in the general funds there. And other than that, that budget was going to remain unchanged, basically, through the process until we got to the legislative session. I should point out that what we're seeing here is all of the stuff that we brought to the table throughout the budget process. Once we get to the legislative session, there are some of these items that I mentioned, like the salary package and health insurance, that will get added on top of these numbers, and we've got some slides at the end of this presentation that will show you that and get you to the full budget for the entire department as we move through the process. But at the time we put the budget together for the Division of Administration, all we added was this few hundred dollars. Mr. Chairman, we'll have our division directors come up next. We'll start with Tony, and we're going to walk through kind of what these budgets really mean for kind of being on the ground between each division and where those dollars are kind of allocated and what they go for. So we'll turn it over to Tony next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler. Tony Lifeman, Director of the Wildlife Division. Spent a little bit of time visiting with you about the Division of Wildlife budget. There are two budgets contained within the Division of Wildlife, each of which are under the authority of the Commission, and we'll be asking you to take action on these two budgets upon the completion of our presentation this morning here. So the Division of Wildlife budget is split into nine separate budgets in addition to the capital development budget. If each of those budgets, there's a budget for each of our regional operations staff and then our programmatic, like fisheries and terrestrial resources, based out of our peer office. I could go through those and tell you how much we spend for personal services and for travel and for capital assets, but it would be much less meaningless than the exercise that we go through to try to pull all those nine budgets together, the entire $49.2 million, and how those numbers divide out to each of these programmatic areas. Much more meaningful, I think, for you to see where the dollars that we collect go in support of the Division of Wildlife Operations. So first off, wildlife management, you'll see that the budget allocation is $10.2 million. Which represents 21% of our entire budget. Contained within the wildlife management section are all those management surveys that we do, the research that goes into preparing recommendations that we bring before the commission, and the data that goes that needs to be collected in support of those recommendations. This also includes $3.3 million to support our wildlife damage abatement programs, split pretty evenly between the game animal damage control program and the animal damage control program, which is primarily coyotes and prairie dogs. Each of those has a budget allocation of $1.5 to $1.6 million. Also included in this wildlife management section is $1.6 million allocated to wildlife research. We pride ourselves, as you know, as being a science-based, fact-based agency and the recommendations that we have. When we recognize shortfalls in that information and needs for additional work, we make investments in wildlife research. Most of that's done collaboratively with universities, most notably South Dakota State University, but we also conduct some of that research internally. Next up in the biggest slice of the pie you'll see there is on habitat and access programs. This constitutes 37% of our entire operating budget and numbers around $18 million. Contained within this section is our allocation of $4.8 million that goes to manage our public lands, that 285,000 or so acres of property that we own. We're currently making a $4.8 million investment. Now, we have gone through some exercises and recognized that that's not meeting the need, and that we are going to be looking at in the future allocating additional resources for management of those properties. But also contained within this 37% of the budget is an allocation to manage habitat or cooperate with landowners for habitat on private land. And that constitutes almost $8 million of this $18 million. And that includes just short of $6 million of payments that are directly made to landowners of South Dakota for habitat and access programs, including $5.2 million for our CREP and walk-in areas, $1.5 million for our habitat enhancement programs of woody habitat, food plots, nesting cover. This also includes $1 million of allocation towards cooperative partnership positions with Pheasants Forever, Ducks Unlimited, National Wild Turkey Foundation. These are some of the folks that we work collaboratively with those NGOs to put people on the ground to help deliver conservation and programs to our state's landowners. Next up there, fisheries, you'll see is just short of $8 million, which constitutes 16% of our overall budget. Again, a lot of the management and research that goes into preparing or having proper information for proper allocation of resource opportunity and the proper management of those resources, that constitutes or is $4.2 million here. There's also an additional $600,000 that is allocated towards specifically to research to help us be better managers of those resources. Also contained here is just short of $3 million that goes to production and development, including the operation of our three state fish hatcheries, Gleghorn, McNinney, and Blue Dog. The final section of the pie you see in front of you here is public service. Bit of a misnomer here. Obviously, there's public service in everything that we do, but this is that portion of our budget that's not directly related to wildlife habitat or fisheries. First and foremost, in this section is $6.8 million to conservation law enforcement. Our conservation officers primarily are the funding source or the investment that we make in protecting those resources and ensuring a safe experience for our state's outdoor recreational users. But this also contains the training necessary for those officers, the TIPS programs, special permits, shooting preserves, and other type regulatory services. Within this public service section also is $2.2 million for education, including our Hunt Safe program, our Step Outside, and the operation of our two outdoor campuses in Rapid City and Sioux Falls. We also have additional outreach efforts for printing publications, postage, electronic media. That totals just short of $2 million. And then there is another $1 million that goes to operate our licensing office here in Pierre. All that contained, again, just over $49 million for the Division of Wildlife Operations. The other budget we'll talk a little bit about is the capital development budget. As Chris mentioned, this is a zero-based budget, and for the fiscal year 2020, we actually allocated $1.6 million less to the capital development budget based upon the needs that were out there, but also on the revenue that was available to support these particular projects. 14% of that's in shooting ranges, habitat development projects, $625,000. Those I've got a list the next slide here. So just the major breakdowns here, and then we'll look at some of the major projects here next. Hunter and angler access, and then facility maintenance and construction being $841,000 or 41% of this budget. Here are some of those projects related to habitat and access. GPA access trails, a lot of these are major developments. We have investments in our operating budget for ensuring good maintenance of those access trails, but these would be for new developments. Spearfish Creek habitat development, again, Chairman Jensen, this is something we've put in the budget for the last few years of developments within those creeks based on some of the conversations that we've had with you and fellow commissioners. We've identified a need for a fix on the Brant Lake outlet structure that was allocated here, a very important lake in the eastern part of the state with a lot of residential development around that. We've identified a problem that needs to be addressed there. When it comes to our facilities, most of those are, we have a major investment in operating our state fish hatcheries, and we continually make investments in each of those properties every year. This year you'll see we're looking at some solar panels at Cleghorn. We're doing some repair at the outdoor campus West, pond and the building repair. I think part of that, for Member Scott, is some staining that's due on the building. At Blue Dog, we've found some ways to be more productive with these rearing ponds, and through research, we figured out that these are worthwhile investments to improve our production at some of those at the Blue Dog Hatchery. And then we make a standard allocation to statewide dam and building maintenance. This, you know, if we have a, this last year, for example, we had the air conditioning unit for the Outdoor Campus East go down. We've got some money set aside to try to address some of those unforeseen problems that are going to arise. And also, this is where we make an allocation to do maintenance work on all of our dams out there, whether it's ceiling cracks, maybe some dirt work. Some of those unforeseen things that we don't necessarily have an exact project in mind when they're budgeted, but we know that they're going to come around every year. Shooting ranges, we also have these third-party projects. It was a few meetings ago we had Jordan Kitts come in, you might remember, and talk about this. These are those collaborative programs we have. These are all federal dollars that we use a local match to match and fund these projects for these shooting range developments. So let's look on the revenue side of things. I think all of you have seen this before, and this is probably familiar to you. Resident licenses form the funding support, or 22% of our budget. Non-resident licenses, 35%. Federal dollars, obviously, are very important in this picture. They constitute 40%. And then those miscellaneous revenues would be for occupational licenses, civil damages, some of those other miscellaneous receipts. There's a number of them that go into that. But this is how the breakdown comes for the financial support of the operations of the Division of Wildlife. One last slide I just want to talk about briefly, our revenue versus expenses, and then ultimately the balance that we've had at the end of the fiscal year. You will see back in fiscal year 13 that our revenues fell short of our expenses, and that we had to make adjustments into our spending. And for those of you that are around, remember we had a three-pronged approach to aligning our revenue with our expenses that included increased use of federal dollars, decreased spending, and some adjustments in fees. This is not a dissimilar situation that we're starting to deal with right now, and we're going to have to make some adjustments to fix this statute, or this structural deficit, I think is the technical term that's called. When your revenues don't align with your expenses, you have to make some adjustments somewhere. But you can see, as we were able to reduce our expenditures, generate additional revenue, we were able to get that blue bar back up above the $12 million mark where we want it to be. It dipped pretty low in fiscal year 2013. I think it went down to $6.7 million, which was a bit of a nervous time for us, because you have to have some type of revenue in the bank to operate the business that we're in within the Wildlife Division. With that, we want to wait for questions till after we're all done, Mr. Chairman. Okay, I'll turn it over to Scott. This is locked in, so I better swap you spots here.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, Commissioners. Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks Division. I should have actually gone first, because I'm actually more familiar with Tony's budget than I am my own right now, only being 2 months into the job. So I'll muddle my way through. I will, if we get into a tough spot, I may turn around and ask some of my capable help or staff to help me out with this. Starting out with just kind of the general overview of what the Parks and Rec Division does. We manage 13 state parks, 43 recreation areas, lakeside use areas, 69 of those, the Mickelson Trail. We also have the snowmobile program, five nature areas and a historic prairie. That keeps us really busy with a staff of about 150 full-time folks, and then obviously our crew of seasonals and interns and everyone else that we put on during our summer months. Just to kind of go over what the revenue portion of things looks like for the Division of Parks. If you start with the the main revenue source. Obviously, we're going to talk about the park entrance licenses. We're going to talk about camping fees. Some of those things that we've talked about this morning and in other previous budget meetings. That's the dollars that come in from the users. And you can see that makes up 44% of our budget, or just over $17.5 million. A couple of the other major revenue sources, federal dollars. We take advantage of recreational trails program funds. We take advantage of LWCF, which is Land Water Conservation Fund, as well as some Coast Guard funds that come into the department. And obviously, we match those with some of those park revenues and take advantage of those. We've got some dedicated taxes and licenses. We talk about motorboat fuel taxes and some of those kinds of things. That makes up 18% of of the revenue that comes into the department. You see the bond payments and general funds. That was the numbers that Chris gave you earlier in the presentation. The Parks Division does receive just over $2.5 million worth of general funds. But we also pass through almost $3 million worth of funds to satisfy the bond payments. And finally, you see the Snowmobile Trails program. That's a budget by itself that we'll cover here in a little bit. But that program does bring in about $810,000 a year. And there's also some miscellaneous fees that come into the department, whether that be through grazing contracts, timber leases, whatever they may be. That accounts for about 4%. Big portion of our expenditures on the park side is through our capital development programs. You can see that's $10.5 million. You look at $10.5 million and you say, in capital development, it sounds like we're building $10.5 million worth of new projects every year, and that's certainly not the case. You can see that new development makes up about 20% of that. That's 2.1% or $2.1 million. By far the biggest chunk of our capital development budget goes towards preventive maintenance, just over $5 million. And then we also have a water-based budget, which Tony had mentioned a little bit earlier. That's those activities that go towards parking lots and boat ramps and fish cleaning stations and all those things that are associated with water recreation. But that's about just short of $3.5 million worth of expenditures. The big part of what we do, as I mentioned earlier, is taking care of what we have. When we talk about replacement value of the roads and buildings, we're talking about $350 million worth of infrastructure if we were to have to replace that today. That's just the stuff that's valued at over $100,000. So we have a bunch of infrastructure within the Parks Division. As I mentioned, 81% of our capital development is preventive maintenance, with just over $5 million of that going towards road work. If I'm remembering the number right, we have just over 300 miles of roads within our Parks Division that need to be taken care of. And that's something that we spend a lot of time talking about. We're looking for some additional funding for some of those road projects, because we know that the backlog is there. And we need to make sure that our visitors have good infrastructure to travel on within the state park system. A couple of bigger projects along with the road work. The big one at Lake Vermilion, we're going to do a campground expansion down there. It's $1.2 million. That expansion will start to take place likely next spring, but it will fall into the fiscal year 20 budget. And the other real big project that we're doing is a $1.1 million boat ramp expansion and relocation at Lake Ponset. Again, that one will likely take place in the spring. We're just getting some of those things put together, the particulars, and we'll be getting some things out on that. We do have another trail expansion project from Pearson Ranch, Chief White Crane, down by Yankton. About $450,000 worth of trail work that's going to be done down there. Planning for the future, we're using a system called Cartograph. Cartograph is basically an asset inventory system. What it does is it allows us to inventory all of our structures, all of our roads, any sort of capital asset that we have, and it puts a lifespan on them. So we can start to plan these things out and say that, okay, if we take care of a road now, we know that we're going to have to come back in 5 years, 10 years, whatever that might be, And we can start to plan those things out and look and say, you know, we aren't just looking to next year's budget. We're looking 5 and 10 years down the road so we can make sure that we've got the funding available or know where those shortfalls are going to come so that we can start looking for additional funding opportunities. The second budget that I mentioned was our snowmobile program. There's dedicated funding within the snowmobile program. That is from snowmobile licenses. Each individual that wants to ride on the trails or out in public is required to have their snowmobile licensed. There's also a percentage of the gas tax that's calculated on number of registered snowmobiles, I believe, in the state. And there's also a snowmobile excise tax when there's a sale of a snowmobile. Some of those additional taxes are dedicated to our snowmobile program. This budget is pretty stagnant this year. There's a $14,000 increase that Chris had previously explained to you folks that we do buy a groomer every year, and we have seen the prices increase about $14,000 this year. So that's the only adjustment to the snowmobile program. It's a $1.2 million total budget, pretty self-sufficient. So. Pete, did you want to do these?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That kind of goes through some of the pieces that were identified within those three divisional budgets and the two capital project budgets and snowmobile for what we saw for increases, decreases, all those items we kind of went through, which is pretty amazing, really, the net effect of all that we talked about there. $93 million, but the increase or growth in the budget was $267,000. So very, very flat on those pieces there. Mr. Chairman, in addition to, you know, what we would consider most of what we talked about there is kind of those base budget allocations, right? That's the year after year stuff. Each year we go through the budget process. We build that base budget, the needs there, identifying those things. And then we also have things that come up that are outside of those base appropriations and needs. Of course, if we go back to December a year and a half ago, we were dealing with the Custer State Park fire. One of the things that we were able to do in and around rehabilitation for Custer State Park was actually get a $1.8 million grant from the Helmsley Charitable Trust. They're pretty familiar to us, right? They've stepped in and helped us on many projects throughout the years. It's great to have them around. So with that piece, those are things that we needed to get on top of right away. So the budget that all of us approved basically a year ago in July, the current year budget, the 2019 budget, we were actually able, as that Helmsley money came to us across a couple of years, we were actually able to go in this current year and get $1.5 million or just over $1.5 million of additional budget added right to the year. So that's additional budget and additional dollars that we are spending out in Custer State Park right now or have been since the early spring or since the snow melt. So those kind of things were added into this year's budget. In the budget that Scott just talked about, that capital development budget, we do have the last piece of that $1.8 million, about $240,000, that is for some of that work in Custer State Park that'll happen after July 1st. So across a couple fiscal years here, we've got $1.8 million of rehabilitation work, which is a great thing for Custer State Park. In addition to that, as the legislative session progressed, again, these are some of those things that are outside of those base budget appropriations. We had two pieces of funding that went through the special appropriations process of the legislature. Governor Noem and her team submitted a bill to allocate $500,000 of one-time money for additional enhancements at Palisades State Park. The legislature approved that enhancement. Those dollars come to us in a one-time special appropriation. They will arrive in the budget now, basically, and we'll get a couple of years to spend those dollars. In addition to that, as all of you were talking this morning, $1 million was allocated to for some of the governor's Second Century Habitat initiatives. That habitat funding, even though that $1 million doesn't touch the department's budget, but it's another $1 million that's out there for those initiatives that are very near and dear to us as well. Mr. Chairman, the last piece of what we talk about then for the budget, right before we ask you to take some action on some of these line items, is, as I mentioned, when we build these budgets, there are those inflationary factors that are state government-wide apportionments or state government-wide allocations that we, as a state government agency, that we participate in. Those things come basically in the governor's proposal after we submit the budget to the governor's budget office. They become part of a package, is what I would call it, that goes through the budget process during the legislative session. And we've got a slide here that identifies those things. So as we talked about at the beginning of this presentation, the department had identified items that would put that budget at about $93 million. Now, when we add on these additional items, what we're going to ask all of you to approve across everything is closer to $96 million. So here's some of the items that became part of the statewide apportionments for state government in South Dakota. All state employees this year, starting July 1st, will be receiving a 2.5% salary increase. State employees in South Dakota have gone a lot of years with minimal or no salary increases, so even though it does put a burden on our license fees and our park entrance license fees and our camping fees, it's something we are very excited to take on that challenge with by giving our employees a raise, just as all other state government employees are receiving. So across the board, what we have there is we're getting an additional $81,000 of general funds, $132,000 of budget for using federal funds, and another $627,000 of budget where we'll use our fee money and we'll pay what should equal out to about $840,000 more, keeping everything else consistent or stable or unchanged, about $840,000 more in salaries for this coming year than what we did this year that'll end in a few weeks. In addition to that salary package, the state of South Dakota that is self-insured for health insurance has the same challenges as all other businesses and governments across the state with increasing healthcare costs. For the state of South Dakota, each government department pays for the premium, insurance premium for the individual employee to the tune of $8,470 for each employee this year. For the budget that starts here in July, the payment for each employee will be $10,071, pretty good increase. That's going to impact our department again by another $746,000, $531 of expenses for this year over last year, keeping everything else consistent. Included in that are $64,000 of general funds, another $123,000 so we can spend more federal dollars, and over $558,000 of additional expenses that will come from our fee package revenues as well. Two other increases that took place that I would say they are less regular or less periodic than health care that goes up every year and salary policies in most years, but fleet rate increases. That is for the per mile cost of driving our vehicles as part of the state fleet or the vehicles that we purchase and get managed by a state fleet as well. Due to just the cost of vehicle replacements, some of the gas price increases that are slowly creeping up, the fleet and travel management division within state government raised the rates on most vehicles. This could be the Chevy Impalas, the Chevy Malibus that we drive to commission meetings, but it could much be some of our heavier equipment and our pickups that our conservation officers use. But most of those rates, some of them are 50 cents a mile, some of them are $1.50 a mile based on the type of vehicle. But those rates across the board on average are going up about 22 to 25%. Again, it's going to be another $630,000 plus impact that'll be kind of new part of the new base rate for those things that will incur within our Game Fish and Parks Department. And the last one that is just basically happening in the days that we're in right now is during the legislative session, the governor's office and the legislature agreed to provide funding, and the interim rules committee earlier in the week approved the final phases of this. Today, when we travel, as our employees travel, in the shoulder season, Labor Day to Memorial Day, the kind of fall, winter, spring season, State employees can be reimbursed or paid directly up to $55 for a hotel room. And then during the more of the summer season, Memorial Day to Labor Day, that rate is $70. There's additional budget now that has been allocated and rules promulgated that will increase that rate as a flat rate all the time at $75 per hotel stay within the borders of South Dakota. In addition to that rate, a $4 increase are going to go to the per diem rates. This is when we have an employee that is out of town for a meeting and they buy a lunch. Basically, that lunch is $11 today. Starting July 1, they'll be eligible for $15. And then that rate's going up to $20 for the dinner or the supper meal as well. Again, it's going to have an impact for the department as up to about $174,000 of increase in the department. Estimates for sure. Mr. Chairman, to wrap things up, what I would tell you is even though when we kind of give the budgets to your budget subcommittee and those kind of things, even though we don't identify these increases specifically in the fall of the year when we put the budgets together, we do factor in, or at least some general estimates, that we expect these things to happen. So when we look at our revenue picture and the monies that we need to bring in, we identify these areas as areas that we assume will have some types of increases. So even though it looks like a lot, we think we've got it covered for the budget year that will start July 1, and we'll go from there and wrap things up. Mr. Chairman, before we get into the actual asking you to take a vote on some of these budgets to set them in place, we could sure open it up for questions if you like.
Questions?
Well, it seems like we should ask, and given all the interest and comment, is there any money in the 2020 budget for live trap, bounty program, those or other or similar programs?
Mr. Chairman, Tony Lefkin, there are no specific allocations for those programs in this particular budget year. Again, when it came time to fund those programs, I looked to our budget managers for assistance in identifying portions within their budgets that they could forego, if you will, spending authority on so that we could acquire sufficient funding to support those programs. Keep in mind, both of those have a component in the current fiscal year that we're operating out of and a component out of the new fiscal year, so that same ask was made of both of what we are currently in and what we are going to be going to in the future. But directly answer your question, no, there is not a specific allocation to either of those two programs in this budget.
Just maybe to follow up, because there's going to be an evaluation, as we've heard, right, of both programs, and then that will come back to the commission, and then there'll be a discussion then about whether there should be money spent on either one of those, or could you just explain how that will work going forward?
Sure, Mr. Chairman, that is the plan, that we're going to get through this first year for each of those programs and then do an evaluation, cost, benefit, what we see as the future, and should they become operational for the future, we're going to have to identify a funding source and an allocation to pay for those. Again, that'll come out in the wash once we have an opportunity to step back, take a look, and see how those programs ran and what the future might be.
Okay, thank you. Could we continue questions maybe at a later time, since it's 2 o'clock and we should probably go to the public hearing?
Understand, okay. Mr. Chairman, would certainly be willing to come back.
So if there are people here that want to visit with us during the public hearing, you do need to fill out a sheet, or we ask you to fill out a sheet identifying who you are. It just makes the process go smoother. Otherwise, we can begin, and Commissioner Phillips is in charge of the public hearing, and we'll allocate 3 minutes for each speaker, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'm going to ask John, do you have these organized according to topic?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to give 3 minutes to everybody to speak. We have 5 finalizations today. We're going to start with archery, deer season, and access permit allocations, and our first speaker is Dana Rogers. please tell us who you are and where you're from before you begin, and we'll give you 3 minutes, Dana.
Thank you very much, Mr. Commissioner. Secretary Hepler, Commissioners, Director Life, I appreciate this time very much to get to visit with you and speak with you once again about this topic that's near and dear to the hearts of resident South Dakota bow hunters.